Good morning. Good morning. I praise the Lord for being here today. I know this gentleman here. I don't know too many of you. I know Brother Gary. How you doing, sir? I hope everyone is in good spirits. So the sermon that is prepared for today is called "The One Who Stayed," and I just thank God for His Word. I thank God for allowing me to be here to speak His word to this wonderful congregation, and the scripture is found in Luke 15:27 through 25, and I just hope that you can glean with me a little bit. I won't keep you too long, but if you would just glean with me a little bit through this story, I know it's one that we've heard before, but I have a different aspect to it, and I hope you can appreciate it and enjoy it. And hear what God has put on my heart. Amen. So I'm gonna just do a quick prayer. Dear Father, Holy King, in your holy courts in heaven, look down upon the Maple Avenue Church here today, dear Lord. Sit me down so that you may stand up to your people here today. Father, give somebody a fresh word here today that they can hear your word. Listen to your word, understand your word, and Father, if it may be that it's possible, if they haven't given their life totally and fully to you, Father, that they may do so here today. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for choosing me to speak this word to this congregation here today. Bless all who are in attendance. Bless all who are on their way. Father, this I ask and humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, now his elder son was in the field. And while he was in the field, he drew nigh to the house. And he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked him, what are these things that are going on? Or what does these things mean? And he said unto him, thy brother has come home. That should be a rejoiceful thing. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. The sermon is entitled, The One Who Stayed. Understand that our human nature, every race, every creed, every kindred, every tongue, every culture, it says the immoral and the immoralizing, the religious and the irreligious, it says, are without any exception sinful and guilty before God. It says that if you would pay attention to the predicament in Romans chapter 1 through Romans 3 through Romans 3:20, you would see the predicament that the human race is in. Are you with me so far? You see, we're in a terrible predicament. You see, they're blameful and sinful in God's eyes. But he knows that he can record or bring back his people to him. Please stay with me. You see, there was no hope. There was no flicker of rescue. There was no condition that could help us in our current state. You see, there was nobody to save us until Jesus came. Are you with me here today? You see, our universe was hopeful and as was hopeless and despair. See, but then a ray of light comes to our rescue. A ray of light brings hope to a hopeless situation. You see, God's righteousness comes to man's rescue. You see, such love is a mystery to many people. How could God love somebody like me? How could he see potential in something or someone like me? For the grace made a way for us to be declared not guilty. Romans 1:22. With great emphasis and joy, the apostle repeats the thoughts of Romans. God's righteousness is through faith. So grace is granted to those and only those who put an act of faith before Jesus. For all those who believe in Jesus will know the Father. You see, but here it is. The uneducated, the educated, the Jew, the Gentile, right? The white, the black, the green, the blue. if we don't take that availability that God has given to his people, what are we going to do? Are we going to stay in our condition? Will we ever be a better, will we ever be able to move forward with Christ if we don't have him in our lives? I've come to talk to you here today because God wants to tell us here today that he wants to be a part of our lives, right? Remember that? He says, I am the potter and you are the clay, right? And what does the potter do? I used to be in pottery as a young man. And understand, I'm not going to say I was foolish, but I didn't really understand what pottery was about until I was with my director. His name was Michael Broad. It's funny because he was a Wall Street lawyer, a broker. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm 18 years old. This man is teaching me about pottery, and it has nothing to me. It doesn't seem like it has anything to do with school, but he's teaching me values in life, right? When something is broken, maybe it can be fixed. If you treat it right? If you water the clay, when you water the clay, what does it do? It softens, right? For you to be able to mold it. God is telling us here today that if you allow him to water him, if you allow him to water your soul and soften it, he can mold you into the shape that he wants you to be. Oh, you didn't hear me. God can mold you into the shape he wants you to be. Not what you want to be, but what he wants you to be. You see, because Romans 3:23 tells me that Alex has sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, it didn't say Alex. It did start with an A. It says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And it says that we need to know that God can reconcile us back to him. Even though we don't look pleasurable, even though we don't look pleasing, even though we don't act pleasing. Can I pull up in the driveway of the Maple Avenue Church here today? You see, many of us, although we think we look nice and we act nice and we say praise the Lord and thank God for you, many times, if I can be honest, not every day I feel like that. And you know why not every day I feel like that? Because I have to find out and really search my heart, surrender my life to God, and he can humble me and sit me down and make sure that I can be what he wants me to be. You see, in Luke 15:25, the Bible says the elder son was in the field. And while he was in the field, he heard this racket of noise. And like any of us who are, you know, with one of our parents, we say, what's the big deal going on over here? What is all of this noise about? What's going on? So he asked one of the people the servant who was by the house, said, well, what is this that's going on? What's all this noise? I know that it's just me and Dad. What is going on, Joe Lewis? What is happening in this house that is so much noise, so much racket? What's going on? And the guy says to him, hey, you know your brother who left and was lost? He's found. And he's in the house with your father. And that is what all the racket and noise is about. The one who stayed, right? That's the prodigal son. We know him. But what about the one who stayed? What about the one who stayed in the house with the father? What was he like? What did he do? What was his role? Right? The older brother. Thank God that not all of us leave the Lord. Amen? Because we are the Christ's bride. We are his wife. So when we marry the Lord, we come to him. We look to him. You see, and like peanut butter and jelly, verse 25, that the older brother, it says, was in the field. Now listen to me. He was in his routine. The job that the father had could depend on him to do his job. You see, it's one thing, friend, it's one thing to leave and never come back. But it's one thing, too, to stay and never leave. Please stay with me. Did you know that we are prone to wander? Did you know that it takes a lot of staying power to stay somewhere when you don't feel like you want to be there? Are you with me here today? Do you know what that feels like, to stay somewhere when you know that you can leave? You know what it's like? You see, so staying power is something that should be focused on by the Christians in God's time, and this time especially. You see, because we can waver and look at the state of the world. We can look at the state of the world and say, you know what? Maybe God isn't here. Huh? Maybe God is not pleased with us. You see, I remember being in my grandmother's house. Sometimes when she wasn't happy, I didn't want to be there. Huh? Is that your experience too? Have you had a parent that wasn't happy in the home and you say, you know what? It's probably best if I'm not here. It could just be me. But I understand when the text says, you know, that the one who stayed, he wasn't really happy, and he wasn't really happy when his brother came home. You know why? Because he was used to having things his way, right? The brother had left. He had gone. So anything that happened was just between the one who stayed and his father, right? Please stay with me. You see, here is the patience of the saints. You know, we have to endure until the end. Sometimes we don't like the circumstances that are happening around us, right? That's this brother. He comes home, hey, what is going on around here? And the servant says, your brother has come home. Now he has to ponder in his mind, should I be happy that he's here? Because I know what he's done. Daddy's taking your money. He didn't respect you enough to stay here and battle through these issues. And he took the money, he spent it, and now he's come back. He's come back to see maybe if you have more money. Huh? He's come back irreverently. But Dad, here you are. Here you are, Dad, killing a fatted calf, giving him a party. What have you done for me? I've stayed here. I've stayed with you here the whole time. I didn't get a party. I didn't get a ring. I surely didn't get a fatted calf, and I wasn't celebrated. What about me? Have you ever looked at the story that way? The one who stayed. Now, why does he have this attitude, you ask, right? Why is he so upset that this brother's come back? Why is he upset that the father is celebrating the son coming back? I'll get to that in a minute. But do you remember that God says, you know, heaven celebrates whenever one soul comes back to him? You see, God loves the fact, he doesn't like the fact that we move away from him, but he appreciates the fact that he can bring us back to him. You know, and that takes a lot of surrender, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of patience. And God is very patient with us, isn't he? He is very patient with us. Because he loves us. He has an undesirable love for us. So here it is. It says here, when we think about young people or older people or whoever, we have to have a stick-to-itiveness about us that keeps us coming back to Christ. Even when we're doing good. Even when we're not doing so good. Christ loves that he can bring us back to him. So he can continue to teach us. So he continue to reach us and reach our minds. Because God is truly not finished with us yet. Do you believe that? Jesus is not finished with us yet. Whether we're middle-aged, older, younger, God can still work with us. He's almost like that clay I was telling you about in the beginning. You know, clay sometimes it gets tough and it gets hard when it's not watered. Right? But if God says he has a free-flowing water, doesn't he? So he can always water us and reshape us and remold us. So don't lose hope in Christ. Don't lose hope in him fixing your life. but let me not get off course. You see, today it's important that we stay with God, but it's also important how we stay with God. Oh, I hope you're hearing me today. It's important that we stay, yes, but our minds have to be right too. You see, this one who stayed, he began to begin to get a complex within himself. You don't believe me? I'll show you. The older brother stayed, but he needed an attitude adjustment. We don't know his name, but for the sake of time and saying, we'll call him Brother Attitude. Is that all right? Is that all right? Let's call him Brother Attitude. How many of you know that when you have a terrible attitude or a bad attitude, that doesn't help us in our cause in Christianity? Can I get an amen out there? If we have a bad attitude, it doesn't help our cause. You see, you can't be blessed with a bad attitude. But anyway, when the brother was coming to the house, if I read in the spirit of prophecy that when the brother who stayed came to the house, it said that it sounded like a symphony. Have you ever been to a symphony? Well, there's different musical instruments playing at the same time. See, God is like that. God orchestrates in the background. And it says that when we're in harmony with him, when we're in tune with him, everything goes like a symphonia. And he's the one orchestrating, saying, doing, telling what's going on. And so when the brother heard this, understand, I'm still wrapped up about this. He was trying to figure out, what was the joyful noise about? Why was this noise happening? But see, he was so angry that he didn't allow the hope of his brother coming back home to fulfill his heart, to fill his heart with joy, because he was being selfish himself. Huh? I hope you were paying attention. You see, in the Greek it says, he refused to go even next to the house. That is an angry, angry person. That you would refuse to even go to the house because your brother came back home. Do you understand what he put in his mind when his brother left? I mean, we know that people do some things that are not right. Amen? We know that sometimes when people do things that are not right, you know, should they be celebrated? It's up for your opinion, you know. But I know that when I've done wrong, or when you've done wrong, or whoever's done wrong, the thing that God tries to teach us in that vein is that, you know, yes, we know what they did was wrong, but Christ still celebrates them coming back. You see, he's trying to teach us all over again what love really is. Huh? Yes, it's easy. It's easy for me to say, man, you should have never did that. You should have never stole that person's car. You should have never took that person's stuff. You know, it's wrong for me to celebrate you, is what people will tell you. But you know what? I'm not celebrating them. I'm trying to celebrate the fact that they still are given an opportunity to change their life around. Now, what about us? You know, because as a young kid growing up in New York, I was into all kind of stuff, right? I'll put me on Front Street. I didn't have really a lot of leadership or guidance. I wasn't inbred in the Seventh-day Adventist belief. I was a young kid running the streets. And it wasn't until my wife taught me about Christ that I knew that I needed to change my life. I was 17 when I met my wife. Not married, none of that. And all she wanted to do was teach me about the love of God. Now here I am, a 40-year-old man, talking to you today about the love of Christ. I don't know why or how God has decided to choose me to use me to do His work, but that's not up for debate. I don't know, and that's up for God to tell me if and when I get to heaven. And that's the same thing that God is trying to teach us through this story here today. That it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't really even matter what you've done. Because if God loves his children, and we are all supposedly his children, even the ones who don't do right, he still teaches us that we have to love them. Are you with me here today? You see, he doesn't want us to be angry when we see the brother who stole somebody's car come into the church and say, well, what are they doing here? God doesn't love them. He doesn't want to be around them. No, God loves all of his children. It says the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Does it not say that in your Bible? Huh? It says that. So we have to love like Christ loved. If I give somebody who's not a Christian my love, they're in trouble. You hear me? They are in trouble. But if I have Christ within me, if I have Christ's love in me, and I give that to them, oh, that's abundance. That's abundance. Because they know that that's not love from Alex, that is love from Christ. But I'm here to ask you today, what was his excuse, the brother who had the attitude? What was his excuse for him not wanting the brother to be home? Huh? His selfishness caused him to exhibit the wrong emotional response to this occasion. His selfishness. It says, I don't know of any woman who would get mad because their husband brought them home some roses. Huh? Do you know of any woman like that? If you brought them home some roses, would they get mad? Selfishness gets our emotional responses out of context. This is what I'm trying to tell you here today. When we're selfish and we don't want things to happen for our brothers and sisters or whoever, it leads the emotional response out of context. You see, he was supposed to be happy. Happy that his brother had come home. Right? Rejoicing that his brother came home. Listen to me, I have wayward brothers. But if I see them ready and willing to convert to Christ, I'm not going to be upset. I'm going to say, see, now you will know the joy of the Lord. But for some reason, this brother was not happy about his older brother coming home. You see, we have to rejoice when people come to Christ. We shouldn't be angry when they come to Christ. You see, we shouldn't be sad when we should be happy. We shouldn't be angry when we should be happy that somebody comes. But you see, the issue again is what I was trying to tell you. He was in the house. He stayed with the father, but he didn't stay right. Right? His mentality, the way he thought, it wasn't right. He had his own complex. He had his own issues. Maybe the father wasn't giving him enough attention. I don't know. You know, and this is what he tells the father. Look, you told me when this prodigal son left, you know, my brother, that if I continue to clean the field, that if I continue to stay by your side, if I continue to do the things that you like me to do, that I would be by your side and you would be happy with me, right? Huh? Does that sound familiar? Oh, wait, just wait for it. You see, the man is a sinner like we all are. And he's talking to the father. Now, here's what I want to bring home to you. He's talking to the father, and the father represents Jesus. He's saying, Lord, you told me that if I would do this, or if I do that, if I continue to stay with you in the home, that you would be proud and happy of me, and happy with me. How many of us say that to Christ today? Lord, I've given you my life. I've given you my everything. And look at my life. I'm not happy in it. You know, I've lost some loved ones because of it. You know, my family doesn't really talk to me. My son doesn't really talk to me. Lord, how am I supposed to be happy? You told me you would bring me happiness and joy and peace. And my life is in shambles. How is this possible, Lord? I can tell you how it's possible. Because there's an enemy that we have. And he seeks to devour our minds, to steal our thoughts, and to steal our joy, and to come to kill us. That's not God's doing. That's the enemy's doing. But God says, even through that, here is the patience of the saints, of those who believe in Christ. You see, when we have Christ, we know that we can, he will do all things for us and help us. You see, the Greek says, when he says to the Father, me, you never had me a kid, you never gave me a kid, but look at me, I'm good, why don't I get a party for staying? As that's like us saying to Christ, I've stayed here for 40 years. I've never been celebrated by you. What about me? But what does that tell us about ourselves if we ask in God, what about me? Is this thing about us or is it about Christ? Is God's provision about us or about Christ? That is a great question and a great way to look at ourselves. Are we doing this because we think we're going to get a kudos or a pat on the back? Or are we doing this truly because we love Christ? Do we truly reflect God's love? Are you with me here today? You see, because I saw my nephew laying in that coffin yesterday. And it hurt me because, you know, the young man, he was on drugs. You know, and the way he looked in that casket, they had to close it. Huh? That is the rigors of his life. But what about us? Are we so marred in sin? Are we so bent up on anger that we don't care what we're doing? And I'm talking to the silent person, the person who goes home. You know, we can come to church and listen, you know, you don't have to tell me. I know that I look nice. You know, but when I go home, am I really nice in my heart? Am I really happy in my heart? Do I really love Christ? Or am I just saying here today, Lord, I preached your sermon. I got all dressed up in my brown suit and my blue shirt and my matching tie, even my handkerchief. Lord, I was ready and I did it. Doesn't that sound familiar? Lord, didn't I convert people in your name? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? Didn't I do those things, Lord? Shouldn't you be happy with me? I told people about you. The truth is, what is your motive in doing it? Are you happy to do it freely because God is the one leading your life? Or are you doing it for other reasons? Just to show that you have done it. I know that I'm talking to somebody here today. You see, and this sermon, it's not a tough sermon, but it's a sermon to cause us to investigate ourselves, to look at ourselves, and say, what am I truly doing this for? Am I doing it for Christ's sake, or am I doing it for my sake? Are you with me here today? You see, I don't know how much time I got, but I want to say this. In Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6, it talks about the potter's house. It talks about God molding our lives. And like I was telling you in the beginning, I went to pottery school. I went with my friend or my mentor, Michael Broad. And listen to me, those were the roughest times. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to think, Joel. There's times I came in there, and can I be honest here today? There was time, and now this man, it's funny, this man was Jewish. But he cursed more than anybody ever heard. This man was really vulgar. And I would sit to myself as a young man, 16, 17, and 18, and say, you know, I don't remember when I was watching the Bible stories or the Jewish people. I don't remember hearing them, you know, speak this way. And I asked him, I said, Michael, why? I didn't think that you would speak this way. Why do you speak this way? And you know what he told me? He said, Alex, it's because I need to be converted. I thought that was the funniest thing. I said, I thought you were already converted. Didn't you say you were a Jew and that you practiced Sabbath keepings? And the funny thing is, I just spoke to Michael Broad. He's a 70-year-old man. I just spoke to him Wednesday. And he watched a stream that I did on Friendship I invited him to it, and I didn't think he would come. You know, but there he was. He was right on Zoom listening to me speak a word for God. And he was joking with me afterwards after I got out of the Zoom. And he says, "You know, Alex, I'm very proud of you. I would never have thought that God would lead you in such a way to do what you're doing now." And I said, "Michael, I didn't think so either. But here I am. You know, I'm not trained. You know, I have had training, but I didn't think that this was the way I would go. You know, but God has led me, as he has led all of you here today, and he has led all of you in your lives to be a pillar for him, to be a vessel for him." And I'm almost done. When Christ is the potter and we are the clay. So if he's molding us, he is the one who has to continue to mold us. And I just want to say this. When Michael, because right, that's Jesus' name too in the Bible, isn't it? In Revelation, they call him Michael. And I don't know how many of you are sports fans or have been sports fans. But if you remember Michael Jordan, wasn't Michael Jordan great? Was he great? He did it. He won some championships. I'm not going off target. I know. I'm going to tell you something. Michael Jordan, he won rings. Jesus, who is Michael, can protect you from all things. He was in between two thieves. Was he not? He was in between two thieves, and he was there, and he will fight for you. Like he fought for them. You know, one denied him, but the other one said, "Please save a place for me in your kingdom." See, that's a good perspective to put to end this. Because that's how we are. There are some people who believe, and there's some who don't. You know, but that thief, he had no time to do a Bible study. He had no time to study the healthy habits of an Adventist. It's just within your heart. Huh? It's within your heart. And that's what I'm trying to get you to lean in today. Where is your heart today? I know that our world is ravaged in COVID, ravaged in presidential elections, ravaged in concern of how our lives are, ravaged in concern of how our children are, ravaged in concern of how our family is. But God says, "Do you still look to me to provide for you? Do you still trust in me? Do you still want to be with me? Do you still want to stay with me despite what you see, despite what you hear, despite what you're going through? Do you still want to stay with me?" Oh, man. Oh, you see, God, he's such a good God. You see, and here it is. Just going to close it with this. You see, he says, I just want to be married. This is what the gentleman tells the father. He says, "I just want to be married. I want to be happy." And isn't that what we all want in the end of the time? We want to be happy with where we are in life. I don't know where you are today. I'm telling you, for myself, I have investigated and looked within myself. And it's a hard thing for me because, again, I wasn't bred into the Adventist faith. But I'm learning. And I'm not afraid to tell you that. I'm learning continually every day. I'm not Mr. Know-It-All, and I don't know everything. And that's what we have to be in our lives. We have to be able to be teachable at all times. Are you with me here today? We have to be. I don't care how old you are. If you are not learning anymore, if you don't want to be taught anymore, then that's where you might fall in your walk. You have to always be willing to be able to be taught. And that's what God wants to do with us. We don't have more wisdom than him, do we? Do we have more wisdom than God? No, I don't, but he does. They said he knows the end from the beginning. I don't even know what the next 2 minutes is going to be. Are you with me here today? I don't know, but God does. I don't know if I'll be alive in the next hour, but God does. See, we have to be able to be submissive to what God has for us to do. Submissive to whatever He has for our purpose in our life. The more we try to take control of that, the harder it's going to be for us. The more we surrender to God's will, the better it will be for us. We may have to go through some of the phases of like what Clay goes through. I was telling you about that too, wasn't I? You see, in the beginning, clay is water. And when it's watered, you can mold it. And I'm gonna be done right here. You can mold it how you want to. But when you water it, Joe Lewis, you see, sometimes when you water it, yes, some of it is very smooth and it's workable, but then you got them little dry spots in them air pockets. And the potter takes care of that? Sometimes he has to poke out the air. Sometimes he has to scrape off the dry clay. Huh? Doesn't that sound like trials and tribulations? Sometimes he has to scrape and poke. But that's what God has to do in our lives, right? David said, search me, O Lord, and see if there be any unclean thing in me, and take it out of me. And that's how we have to be. That's how we truly surrender to God. Amen? God has to truly work in our lives. He has to truly break us down and get us to where He wants us to be, not where we want to be. You know, and I just thank God that He's taught me that. That He's taught me to surrender my will to Him, surrender my life to Him. Because truly, if you believe that God has your best interest in heart, He does. And He will show you. He will show you. That is my experience with the Heavenly Father. He's brought me in places I never thought. I tried for the longest of time, ladies and gentlemen, to find my mother. To find my mother. And no matter what kind of effort I put into it, no matter how many times I looked up numbers, it was to no avail. But the moment I came to Christ, He said, okay, Alex, you ready now? I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. And I was at a Bible study that God allowed me to get a phone call from my sister, who I didn't even know I had. He said, hey, are you Alex Andrews? And I said, yeah, why, who are you? She said, I'm your sister. My name is Rebecca, and you have four other siblings that are from Andrea Andrews. That's my mom. That's my mom's name. And I was at a Bible study saying, praise the Lord, because I never thought to the day that I would meet them or meet my mom. So I thank God for that. And that's my testimony. That's my word for today. I'm not going to, like I said, I'm going to hold you too long. But remember that when you stay at home or when you stay in church, stay right with God. God bless you. I'm just going to close in prayer real quick. Father, we thank you for even giving us the courage to come here today, giving us the knowledge to know, dear Lord, that, you know, that we have to adjust our attitudes, Father, concerning you. That we, Father, shouldn't be upset when your children come home, Father, to you. Father, we should embrace them and teach them the ways of the Lord. Father, bless all who have come here today, who have heard this word, dear Lord. Help us, Father, to be continually, all the time, have our minds, our hearts, and our bodies to surrender to you, dear Lord. We know that we're not perfect. We know that we make mistakes, Father, and you know that better than any of us. So help us, dear Lord, to get over ourselves, or help us to continue to stay walking in the narrow way, Father, which is the way that you are. Father, continue to help us to surrender our lives to you. This is my humble prayer, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.